Okay, fun seekers, have we got a treat for you. We are going to spend the next 20 slides learning everything there is to know about mutual fund fees. So you're going to need a piece of paper to write these things down because you can't keep all of them in your head at one time. And afterwards, you're going to be the investment guru for your friends and family. I just know it. So let's get started on slide 21. Annual operating expenses. As we mentioned in the previous presentation, every mutual fund has annual operating expenses. And they vary from anywhere below 0.5% up to 2% or more. Typically, the biggest fee, but not always, is the management fee. This is the fee that is paid to the portfolio managers and the analysts who make the investment decisions. And dear students, if they're doing a good job, then it is not an inexpensive operation, because the world is global and you have to have a global team that travels all around the world to see the operations of many of these companies. Folks, Coca-Cola makes 80% of their money outside the United States. Exactly. So you don't know what's going on in Mexico, or in China, or South Africa, or Turkey. Exactly. So we're going to find that a well-run mutual fund is going to incur some annual fees. Now, is that to say that all the fees are worthwhile? No. Some companies charge a lot more than others, and they're just doing it because they can. So every mutual fund is different, and there are almost 12,000 out there. Oh, boy. Now, what are these 12B1 fees? What a silly name that is. Well, that's the annual fee to defray advertising, servicing, and distribution costs of the fund. It comes from the Investment Company Act of 1940. And is Coca-Cola, speaking of which, is Ford, is Wells Fargo, are these companies, are they required to tell you how much they're paying to advertise and service and distribute their products? No. They don't tell you how much advertising they pay for. But because of the Investment Company Act of 1940, the mutual funds have to. Does that mean people understand how they're being charged? No. Are the mutual funds making it easy for you to understand? No. See what you're up against? The last fee here are the accounting and other expenses. This is for the website and doing all the book work and the lights and the utilities and rental and all the other stuff that they have to pay for. Now, we have a line here because this last fee on this slide is not for all mutual funds. It's only for those that are in a retirement account, such as a Roth IRA, or other tax-qualified accounts, such as an educational savings account or a health savings account. And why is that? Well, when you have these tax-qualified accounts, the IRS requires that there's another layer of checks and balances, a trustee that watches over the fund. And they typically charge $10 a year. Some charge, I've seen, up to $30 a year. But that's only if you have a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA, a 401k, a 403b. So let's now take a look at slide 22. Along with the annual operating expenses are trading costs. But these are not disclosed in the annual prospectus. Just as all the other fees on the previous slide are disclosed, courtesy of the Investment Company Act of 1940. So how would you as an investor know how much the trading costs are? Well, you can ask the mutual fund, or what you look at is the annual turnover. I like to know what the annual turnover is for my mutual funds. And we'll discuss turnover in more detail when we get to chapters 5 and 6 on stocks, but essentially, how often are we turning over the portfolio? If you had 100% turnover, that means within 1 year, you will have bought and sold every single stock in the portfolio. Does that make sense? If you have a 50% turnover, it'll take 2 years. 25%, 4 years. And so what we look for, at least what I do, what I like to look for, and what I recommend with regard to a stock fund, is about 20 to 30% turnover. That means they're holding the stocks for any 3 to 4 to 5 years. And why is that? Well, we'll discuss that later on, as we said, when we get to valuation of stocks and how we can actually try our best to predict the future. It's not easy. If you see a mutual fund with 188% turnover, that means within 6 months, they're going to have bought and sold all the stocks in the mutual fund. And to me, that's not investing. Personally, that to me is speculating, that's trading, that's playing the loser's game, as it's called. Now be careful. There are some funds, such as money market funds, where the turnover might be 400 or 500%. Well, think about it, folks. When you're buying things that mature in 3 months or 6 months, you got to go out and buy more. So to see a high turnover in a money market account, that's nothing. That's not, you don't have to worry about that. That just comes with the territory because you're buying things that turn over, that mature in just a few months. But we're going to take a look, especially with stock funds, for about 20 to 30%. Now, there are some that have even less turnover, which is... we'll discuss those later on. Slide 23. The eternal debate, the endless debate. Should you purchase a no-load or a load fund? Well, typically, historically, all mutual funds came with a load because they were sold to the public through brokers. Then some companies decided, you know what, we're going to go direct to the public. We're going to not charge a sales charge and have the public go right to us. And when you go to a financial representative, folks, they don't work for free, right? You know? And so they're going to charge you one way or the other. Since the explosion of no-load funds, people have gotten a little bit more prickly and not happy to pay these loads. And you can imagine that the brokers and the mutual fund companies have found ways to sneak those fees into into your account so that you feel that, oh, I'm not charged an upfront fee. You're being charged, folks. You don't want people to work for you for free. Trust me, because you won't get very good people when you do that. There's an old joke that goes along with that, but we don't have time for that now. So let's now... do our best to slog through these various load and no load funds. This is where you're going to want to have a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, or maybe type it up, or however you study, but you're going to want to study because, folks, this is not trivial. The industry has done its best to make it difficult for people to understand how they are being charged, and they would probably take strong umbrage, fancy way of saying they'll act like, what are you talking about? We don't do that. Yes, they do. But just know you're being charged, right? But you, I mean, most people just need to know they're being charged. But you, because you are going to be the investment gurus for your friends and family and coworkers, you have to understand this. So let's start with the historically first type of mutual fund, and that was the front-end load. Class A, they're now called, sometimes called Class 1, but usually you'll see Class A. The commission is paid when the shares are purchased, and they normally, but not always, have lower annual operating expenses. Well, you know, people didn't like that so much, so the industry came up with a way to charge you on the back end, Class B shares. The back-end load. The commission is paid when the shares are redeemed. Well, now, wait a minute, Ms. Broker, Mr. Broker. What difference does that make whether I'm paying on the upfront or the back end? Oh, relax. Sit down. Don't relax. Don't worry. No, there's no problem here. Let's discuss this. What most Class B shares have is called a contingent deferred sales charge. Isn't that a great name? Contingent. It's a great word. Say it. It feels good when you say it in your throat. Contingent. And how does this work? Well, they took a page from the life insurance companies, and they said, look, we're not going to charge you an upfront fee. We're going to charge you a back-end fee that declines over 3 years, 6 years, 8 years. Life insurance companies, they decline over 20, 25 years. And so maybe the first year it's 5%, the second year 4%, 3, 2, 1, until after 5 years or 4 years or whatever, you don't pay any back-end charge. Okay, that makes sense, right? What's the catch, though? The back-end fee, the back-end loads, the back-end shares, the Class B shares, typically have higher annual operating expenses, courtesy of the 12B1 fees, until that contingent deferred sales charge declines to zero. And then they will revert to the Class A shares, which have lower annual operating expenses. Are you confused yet? Good, we've done our job. Sorry. Relax, it gets worse. Slide 25 has the Class C shares, which used to be called the broker no-load funds, but now they're not allowed to be called the broker no-load funds. Now they have to be called load funds because the SEC says they have to be. They didn't have an upfront fee. They didn't have a back-end fee. Well, some of them will charge you 1% if you take your money out within 1 year, which you're not going to do because it's a mutual fund. It's a long-term investment. But they're going to get you somehow, folks, and the Class C shares typically have higher annual operating expenses in perpetuity. Like that word, perpetuity, means forever. It's a great way to spit on your friends. I have a shares that charge me more in perpetuity, or for a long time, maybe 10 years, right? Again, they use the 12B1 fees to pull this off. Hence, these shares with no upfront fee, no back-end fee, can wind up costing you more than the ones that have an upfront fee or a back-end fee. And no longer can the brokers call these broker no-load funds, because the Securities Exchange Commission now says that you cannot call a mutual fund a no-load fund if the 12B1 fee is greater than 0.25%. Huh? What? Relax, we'll go through the actual numbers in just a moment. But are you getting confused? I warned you. Write them down. Class A, Class B, Class C. It's going to take you a few times to go through it, but then you will be the expert. Now, we finally get on slide 26 to the no-load funds. The advisors said, you know, Bobbies, we need these no-load funds so we can tell our clients that they're no-load funds. So they created a few other class shares. They typically go by Class F for financial advisor, Class I for investment advisor. Sometimes you'll say Class FI, or sometimes you'll just see advisor class. They'll say they're advisor class. And how do these work? Well, they don't charge you an upfront fee. They don't charge you a back-end fee. They also have lower annual operating expenses like DA shares. But what they do is they hold them in the wrap account of the brokerage firm where the advisor works, sometimes called a management account, a wealth management account. And the advisor's firm then charges an extra 1 to 2% every year to manage the account. Now, if you're a broker, you would love to have your clients being charged an extra 1 to 2% every year, and that's exactly what many of the brokerage firms are doing these days. But you're going to wind up spending a whole lot more as the investor over time. So I'm not a big fan of these, but everyone's different. And then the last category here on slide 26 are what the industry, the financial media industry, not the mutual fund industry, calls true no-load fonts. That's not a legal term. That's just what you'll see on the talking. You'll hear the talking heads on the media say, "Oh, you want a true no-load fund? Listen to me." These mutual fund companies typically deal directly with the public. They may not, as we said, have a 12b1 fee greater than 0.25%. And these are the darlings of the popular media. Who needs a financial advisor? Bypass the middleman. Just buy my book and do my seminars. But that does not mean that the overall fees are low, dear students. Over time, a no-load fund can wind up costing you more than a load fund. You must compare the annual operating expenses. So now that you're thoroughly confused, let's take a look at an example mutual fund and the different classes that this mutual fund offers. Now, this is a very popular fund. It's a very good fund, by the way. And it's, remember the company Alliance that almost disappeared when we had our last scandal in the mutual fund companies? Mutual fund industry. Well, this is that company. It's now called AB. They merged with Samuel Bernstein, and they called themselves Alliance Bernstein. I guess that was too hard, so now they call themselves AB. AB. I don't know. I don't make these things up, folks. And this is one of their best funds called the Large Cap Growth Fund. It used to be called the Alliance Large Cap Growth Fund, but now it's called the AB Large Cap Growth Fund. And they have a Class A, a Class B, a Class C, and an advisor class. So look at the Class A shares. They're going to charge you 4.25%. Now, what does that mean? You put in $100, you're going to get charged $4.25. You put in $1,000, $42.50. You put in $10,000, $425. You put in $100,000? No. Once you get above certain breakpoints, and we'll see those later on, the Class A share commission starts to drop until finally it goes away when you put in $1,000,000. But for the vast majority of us working grunts putting $50 a month away, that's going to translate into what? $50, a couple dollars, right? So the maximum sales charge is what you and I, we working grunts, pay. Once we have $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 in our accounts, or have lucky enough to have that much money to put in when we contribute, the sales charge goes down, and we'll see that. But as we said, all mutual funds have annual operating expenses. So this mutual fund, for the managers, for the people with the top hats, charges 59 cents for every $100 you have in the account, 0.59%. That's what that means. Most people, they don't really understand what that means, but that's what it means, 59 cents for every $100 you have in the account. And then there's the 12B1 fees that are used for the advertising, distribution, servicing of the account, of the company. And then other expenses, lights, rent, mutual fund, websites, and the like, the accounting. And this mutual fund is charging you 1%, $1 for every $100 you have in the account, in perpetuity. That's on top of the A-share commission, which goes to your financial advisor. Some of it goes to the mutual fund company, but most of it goes to the financial advisor. So you're paying $1 a year. Now, does that sound like a lot of money? It's not, actually. It's fairly typical for mutual fund companies. It's a whole lot less than what the banks and the life insurance companies charge you, but are they required to tell you how much they're charging you for holding on to your money? No. So will they do that? No, they will not. They are not under the auspices of the Investment Company Act of 1940. So you go to your advisor and you say, "Well, Miss Advisor, I don't want to pay that upfront fee." And they say, "No problem for you, booby. Sit down. Have a cup of coffee. We have the Class B shares. There's no upfront fee. And we have this maximum contingent deferred sales charge of 4% when you take your money out." Wait a minute. What difference does it make if I get charged on the way in, charged on the way out? Relax. Sit down. We've already taken care of that. It is a contingent deferred sales charge. It goes down over time. And you're not going to pull the money out soon, right? This is a long-term investment. So you're going to leave that money in there for a long time, so you're not going to be hit with any sales charge, because it starts with 4% the first year, and then 3, and then 2, and then 1, and after 4 years... Oh, all right, Ms. Broker. All right, Mr. Broker. I'm feeling a little better about this. Well, now, the management fees are the same as the A shares, right? 0.59%. But what happened here? What did they do? Well, they took that that load and they snuck it into the 12B1 shares. And so you pay that, I forget, 6 years? Is it 6 years for Alliance? You pay that 1% a dollar every year for every $100 you have in the account for 6 years. Or is it four? I have to go back and look. I apologize. But it's for a certain amount of time. And then, boom, they revert to the A shares. The other expenses are a little bit higher, 0.21%. So you're paying $1.80. $1.80 per $100 in perpetuity. Yeah. Oh, well. So you go to your broker and you say, I don't want to pay that upfront fee. And you know what? I might want to take the money out in a couple of years, so I don't want to pay that back-end fee. And your broker says, no problem! For you, we have the Class C shares. We used to call them broker no load, but we're not going to do that anymore. We'll just call them the Class C shares. Is that okay with you? There's no upfront fee. There's a 1% charge if you take the money out in a year, which you're not going to do, because this is a mutual fund and you really want to leave the money in there for a long time, at least a few years. Okay, Mr. Broker. Okay, Ms. Broker, that makes sense. What's going on? Right, same 0.59% management fee, but there's that 12B1 fee, 1%. And I forget how long they hit you for. I'll have to go back and look. My apologies. 0.17, 17 cents of other expenses, and $1.76. $1.76 for every $100 you have in the account. So you go to your Ms. Broker, Mr. Broker. I don't want to pay an upfront fee. I don't want to pay a back-end fee. I want to have lower annual operating expenses. And what does your broker say? No problem! For you, we have the Class F shares. They've changed the name now. They call the advisor shares. We're not your broker. Oh, no, 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 no. We're your wealth manager. And so you'll pay no upfront fee, no back-end fee, and look, you will have annual operating expenses of only 0.75%, 75 cents for every $100, less than all of the others. Aren't you lucky? Oh, by the way, we're going to charge you an extra 1 or 2% every year for our wealth management. What was that, Ms. Broker? We're going to charge you an extra 1 or 2% every year for the rest of your life. And, you know, I don't think this is in the best interest of the clients. I certainly wouldn't want to buy it. I would go with the A shares. If I'm going to go through a broker, I'm going to buy the one that's the cheapest. And we're going to see that that's typically the cheapest. But I have these discussions with other brokers when, you know, no one's listening. And I say that, you know, I don't think these things are in the best interest of the clients. They wind up spending more over time. And this one guy, I will never forget this guy. I just, you know, nice three-piece suit. And he says to me, he says, what are you talking about? You send them a bottle of wine on their birthday. You know, take them to the steakhouse every once in a while. Send them a Christmas card. They'll love you. It's not the issue. just sent chills down my spine. Okay, now let's take a look at another mutual fund, and this is called the New Economy Fund. This is actually a pretty good fund also. And notice that they have the A shares. They have a little higher commission, the 5.75%, which is a little more than the 4.25% of the Alliance Fund. But notice that their management fees and distribution fees and other expenses are less. So 78 cents, whereas it was a buck for the previous mutual fund. So this mutual fund charges a higher commission, not that 1.5% higher, but charges you less per year. So their fees are lower than average. And the B shares, well, they've gotten rid of them. It turns out that the B shares really are not. If you're putting $50 a month away, the A and the B shares are, there's really no difference between the two. But when you're putting more money in, the B shares turn out to be not the best deal. So this company is just getting rid of them. And they're not the only ones. Other companies are getting rid of their B shares. The C shares are still around. And again, no upfront fee, 1% if you take the money out within a year, which you're not going to do. Don't do that. I mean, it's not. If you need the money within a year, you put it in a money market or a CD or a savings account. You put it in a short-term instrument. Mutual funds are long-term instruments. But there's the 12B1 fees, and so you're paying $1.59 every year, almost twice as much. Is that twice as much? Yeah, it's not quite twice as much. As well, actually, it is twice as much, isn't it? No, it's a. I got to do my math. Yeah, it's about twice as much. And you do that for 10 years. This company do that for 10 years, and then the annual fee goes down. So you go to your broker. I don't want the upfront fees. I don't want those high annual operating expenses. I want no commissions and lower annual operating expenses. And this company actually has three different financial shares, F1, 2, and 3. And so they show you the F2, no upfront fee, no back-end fee. Look at that, 56 cents, the lowest we've seen so far. But don't forget, the mutual fund company, your brokerage firm is charging you 1 or 2% on top of that 56 cents. So you could wind up paying $2.56 every year, which I don't think is in your best interest. So be aware, unless the person you want to deal with, you love them and you want them to, charge you accordingly. A disclaimer, I don't have any clients who have this. I would, if they wanted it, I would do my best to explain to them it's not in their best interest. And by the way, if you as a broker sell B shares, C shares, or F shares, you have to get your client to sign something acknowledging that they have been educated to the fact that they're going to wind up over the long term spending more. You with me? You with me? Understand? Yeah, you have to disclaim that. You have to disclose that the B shares, the C shares, the F shares can wind up costing you more over the long term than the A shares. Cool. That doesn't mean people know what they're signing, but that's okay. Slide number 29. Here's another famous, now infamous, load fund. It started as a no-load fund, but then when they changed the rules, they just thought, okay, let's change ourselves. They used to have just the Class C shares, which they called the primary shares. But then when they changed all the rules, they added the Class A shares, they changed the name from primary to C shares, and then they added these FI, Financial Investment Advisor, or whatever you want to call it, Financial Investment Advisor. And they also have these institutional, what is that, huh? So there's the A shares, again, 5.75%, like the New Economy Fund, but their annual fees are a little higher, $1.05 for every $100. The C shares, well, they have those distribution and or service fees of 0.95%, not quite 1%, and they had them in perpetuity. And when they changed the rules, they changed these from, they call them primary, then they call them Class C to be with the rest of the world. Now, I'm cynical enough to just say, look, guys, we can get around this. All we have to do is take this distribution fee, take it out of the 12B1 fee, move it up into the management fee, and then we're cool. Then we can still call them, no, I bet you the SEC already figured that one out. They're one step ahead of me and said, don't do that. So you're paying $1.77 in perpetuity for this fund. Look at their financial advisor shares, 1.14%. That's higher than the other two. So if your company's adding 2%, now you're into 3%. Now you're in where banks and life insurance companies are charging you. Life insurance companies charge you typically 2.5% or more, 3% up 4%. Oh, my goodness. but they don't have to show you that. And then the institutional cliff, how do you get those? I guess you got to be institutionalized, and we'll come back to that later. Now, this one is called the leg, well, it's not anymore. What are they doing? Right. This one really stunk up the joint. Just as we said, some mutual funds do very, very well, and the previous two are pretty darn good funds. This one, not so much. It used to be a very famous fund because it was awesome. And then it hit on hard times. So they changed the name to ClearBridge Value Trust from Legg Mason Value Trust. And the gentleman who ran the fund is Bill Miller. Was Bill Miller. He's not there anymore. And we'll come back to Mr. Miller when we get to stocks. He was the darling of the industry and then became the goat, the dog, the also-ran. It's a tough business. Slide number 30. And now for something completely different. I'm a big fan of Monty Python. This is the famous Vanguard 500 Index Fund. Index funds started in the mid-70s. There was a little bit going on, but there weren't any mutual funds that people could buy before that. And we'll discuss the theories and the research behind indexing. But what this fund does is no research. So what I should say is what this fund doesn't do is research. They simply look at a list of stocks called the Standard & Poor's 500, hence the name 500 Index. And if it's on the list, they buy it. And if it's not on the list, they don't buy it. Now, what is the Standard & Poor's 500? I apologize. We'll deal with that in detail when we get to Chapter 5 on stocks, our next chapter. But it's a list created by a company called Standard & Poor's of the 500 traditionally largest companies based in the United States. And so this company, this mutual fund company, says, we're not even going to try to determine whether to buy Ford or GM or Chrysler or Honda or Toyota. We're simply going to buy the companies that are in this list. And if they're not in the list, we don't buy it. So you or I could run this company, assuming we can read the names of the companies on the list. Therefore, they better not be charging us a whole lot of money because they're not doing any research. They're not paying high-powered individuals to jet-set all around the globe and do research on individual companies. And indeed, that's exactly what we see. We see the management fees of 12 cents, distribution fees of a 20 bucks if your account is less than $10,000, unless you sign up for electronic delivery. And then they don't charge you a 12B1 fee because it becomes very, very inexpensive for them to market the fund. And the other expenses, accounting and the like, 2 cents. So 14 cents. Wow. That's a whole lot less than all the other mutual funds we've seen. But remember, the other mutual funds used what is called active management. They had people knocking on the doors, going around and saying, yes, we think we're going to buy Apple or Microsoft, or in the healthcare field, we'll buy Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, all these different companies that you may have heard of, you may not have heard of. There's thousands of them, folks. So these types of mutual funds, index funds, simply don't even try. They just go look at a list of companies and buy those companies. And we'll discuss, what the big reason is they can charge a lot less. But there's also some research behind why companies want to do this, and we'll discuss that later on. Now, slide 31, the Fidelity 500 Index Fund. Huh? Well, remember we still talked about Fidelity and Vanguard, the two largest mutual fund companies, and they've been fighting now for decades. Fidelity did not want to do index funds. They were touting their actively managed funds, but people just kept saying how wonderful and fantastic and fabulous these index funds were, and so Vanguard overtook Fidelity as the number one mutual fund company. And you know what Fidelity said? If you can't beat them, join them. So now they have their own index 500 fund. And they have management fees that are less than Vanguard. Take that, Vanguard! We'll go lower than you. Kind of like limbo. How low can you go? And so they charge a total whopping 9 cents for every $100 in the account. And again, they have that low balance annual 12B1 fee, in this case $12. But again, if you enroll in automatic purchases, they'll waive it, and $2,000. You accumulate $2,000 in a couple of years, folks. If you're putting $50 a month away, well, it's actually about 3 years. Okay, so this is what's going on now. We're seeing a race to lower fees using index funds. Slide number 32. Every mutual fund is required to produce a prospectus that nobody reads, but hopefully you will. I'm going to ask you to thumb through them as you do your mutual fund research on a couple of mutual funds, and you will see the hypothetical $10,000 investment with a 5% return example of dollar costs. So here's that AB large cap growth fund. We're starting with $10,000, so we have to pay that 4.25%, $425 right off the bat, and then we pay our annual operating expenses. So we notice that the B shares and the C shares cost us less after 1 year. But then after 3 years, you see the B and the C shares are catching up because they charge us more every year. And then after 5 years, it's a wash. They're very close to one another. And then after 10 years, what happens? Right. Because the A shares are charging us less per year, they wind up being a whole lot less than the B or the C shares. Now, the F shares look like they're the best deal. Remember? Notice what it says. Excludes advisor's fee. That's right. Remember that we would be adding an extra 1 or 2% every year that would be charged by the brokerage firm. And so you wind up spending an extra $1,300, extra $2,600 through the Class F shares. But you get a bottle of wine and take you to the steakhouse every year. Let's take a look at the Legg Mason Value Trust. The exact same thing happens. The A shares wind up costing us more in the short term, but then because the B and the C shares, in this case they don't have B shares, I'm sorry, the C shares catch up because they're charging you more every year. Now, the F shares, again, we have to add the advisor's fee, which would add $1,300, $2,600, depending on how much they charge you. The institutional class, I apologize. How do we get the institutional class? Well, you got to be an institution, a large pension fund, a university endowment, a tax-exempt charity, and, oh, by the way, do you have at least $1 million to invest with us? Yeah, go away. We're not interested in you. So, yes, you and I are not going to get that pricing. Cool. So, now let's take a look at the Vanguard Index Fund. Ooh, boy, is that cheap. $179 over 10 years. The fees for passively managed index funds will almost always be less than actively managed funds. Now, look at the little star there. If you're listening to this, there's a little asterisk. And that means go to the bottom and read the fine print. Careful. Some 401k plans have high fee index funds snuck into them. Who would do that to their employees? Yeah, Southwestern did it. And I was complaining for years. I'd go up to our human resources folks and say, do you understand how they're charging us? Because, you know, Southwestern didn't make the choices. It was the third-party administrator, which was an insurance company. Never, ever trust an insurance company with your investments, folks. Keep your back to the wall, your head down low. And finally, one of the women who worked up there said, what are you... They didn't understand what I was trying to explain to them. They hadn't taken Business 123. She took Business 123. And she came back to me and she said, you know, we're getting screwed. Yes, I've been trying to tell you that. They had these... these high fees, some of them charging close to 1%. You know, a dollar for every $100 you have, when they should be charging, you know, 9 cents or 15 cents, 14 cents. And Vanguard didn't stop there, folks. They didn't let Fidelity beat them out. They now have an Admiral class, which used to be only available with $100,000, right? But now you get it with $10,000. So you would pay a total of $51 over 10 years if you invested in the Admiral Class Vanguard 500 Index Fund. Now, do you remember the exchange-traded funds? Exactly. They often have lower fees than the index funds. And if you can believe it, remember, how low can you go? Fidelity has just announced two index funds with zero annual fees. Now, folks, how can they make any money doing that? Well, it's the same kind of thing that goes on the internet all the time. They'll give you, you know, this service or whatever, this product. And then if you want the premium, you're going to have to pay for that. So they're hoping that you will sign up with them and get, you know, these two index funds for free. But then you're going to want a few others, and you're going to diversify, and you're going to want to, now I want to be a little more aggressive, so I'll do this. And so they're hoping to get you in the door with these free funds and then sell you ones that make them money. Because, you know, they can't make any money giving stuff away for free. Fidelity's a big company, folks. So we'll see how that works out. We'll see how that works out. How low can you go? Okay, now, let's switch gears a bit and take a look at those sales breakpoint reduction, sales breakpoint amounts. If you do go with the Class A shares because you have a broker or a financial advisor that you trust and they try to sell you the F shares and you explain to them that the A shares are cheaper and they go, you're right, but nobody wants them. I want them. Okay, Mr. Broker, Ms. Broker. If your account goes over $25,000, either by purchasing or accumulating the amount, then that 5.75% sales charge goes down to 5%. This is that new economy fund we looked at. Once it hits $50,000, 4.5%. Once it hits $100,000, 3.5%. $250,000, 2.5%. $500,000, 2%. $750,000, 1.5%. And then after your account hits $1 million, or you invest $1 million, either combination of both, you pay no more sales charge. Now, what is the industry trying to tell you, and you and me? What are they trying to tell you and me? We love the rich folks. Yes, they do, dear folks. And that's, you know, I don't know what you can do about it. That's how it works. The folks who are very wealthy are treated better. And that's what typically happens with brokers. I'm sort of an anomaly. I love people who put $50 a month away, because these are the people who need to do that. And other brokers say, oh, I don't want a client unless they have at least $500,000. One of my clients was telling me that this guy was telling her that he didn't take anybody unless they had at least $500,000. He was about to bump it up to $750,000. He just did not want them. And I'm thinking, look, they don't need... These people are doing okay, you know, they don't need help. It's the people who are putting $50, $100 a month away. They're the ones that need help. But I'll tell you a little story. When I first got my broker's license, this was back in 1998. My goodness, I'm getting old. I am old, as I say. And my supervisor at the time, she's long since retired, and I've moved to another company. She sold the company. But she asked me, who was I going to target? You know, what kind of clients I was going to go after? And I said, well, you know, I want to do the same thing for me that I did for myself, and that's start small, $50, $100 a month away, hopefully get young folks to do that. And she looked at me as if I had three eyes in the middle of my forehead and said, well, you're not going to make a whole lot of money doing that. And I said, you're right. I understand how much I'm getting paid. And it's not that important to me. Why? Because I'm a teacher first. I'm a teacher at Southwestern first. I'm a broker second. And I don't have to. So in that way, I'm a little, I have the privilege of being able to take sniper shots at my fellow brokers who are, you know, having to make their mortgage payments and buy their three-piece suits and fancy cars and steak dinners. So I'm a bit of an anomaly in that respect. So you have to be careful when you have a bit of a privileged position, because I live off of my salary. Thank you very much, at Southwestern. So you understand? That's why most brokers they don't want you if you have $50 a month. They'll say, okay, go to Vanguard, go to Fidelity. They'll deal with you because you don't get a. I mean, you can spend extra at Vanguard, Fidelity, and get a personal broker, but most people don't. What Vanguard did, I'm sure Fidelity does this now, but one of my friends told me this. She spent $500 to have somebody look over her portfolio that she constructed herself, but it was a service that they do. $500, they look over your portfolio and tell you what they think is good and what they think is good. I said, George, which is not her name, I would have done that for free, you know, over a bottle of wine. She goes, no, I felt better paying the $500, and good, okay. And they basically told her that, what I had told her already, that she knows exactly what she's doing. She's doing a very good job. She's awesome. She's retired now, but she was a sales representative for a pharmaceutical company, but she could easily have been a broker. She's very sharp. Whenever we get together, we talk about the markets and the economy and the like, and she's very sharp. Slide number 36. This slide is showing you the contingent deferred sales charge. And this is the AB Large Cap Growth Fund. The back end, the contingent deferred sales charge, for the first year is 4%. That means if you take the money out within a year, they're going to hit you on the back end with 4%. Don't do it. I mean, it's not right. You put all that energy into deciding which mutual funds you're going to buy, and you hold on to them because they're long-term investments. In year number two, it's going to be 3%. Year number four, 2%, year number three, 2%, year number four, 1%, and then after 4 years, no more contingent deferred sales charge. But, right, you're paying higher annual operating expenses until they revert back to the A shares. Now, as we said, this was taken from the life insurance industry, where they call this a surrendered charge schedule. And they usually start at 20% or 25%, and it takes 20 to 25 years for it to go down to zero. Thanks a lot, insurance companies. Okay, are you confused yet? Good, we've done our job. No, I apologize. Go back over, make sure you study these, because, again, you are the expert now for your friends and family, and especially your coworkers. And when you're in that 401k meeting, and this guy or gal in the three-piece suit is telling you how wonderful these mutual funds are and what a great deal you're getting, and you see some cockamamie index fund from Gartmore or who knows, Wells Fargo or from Nationwide on your backside, and you see that they're charging you 0.8% or 0.9% for an index fund, you're going to raise your hand and say, what is going on here? Why don't we have Fidelity or Vanguard and paying 0.04%? You're paying 4 cents and not 80 cents every dollar. And that broker in the three-piece suit is going to go, ha, na, 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 na. And they're going to say, well, this is the one we chose for you. This is actually a very good index fund. It makes us a lot of money. I mean, no. It's been around for a long time screwing. I mean, charging people way more, 10 times, 20 times more than what they should be. And that's when they should really just get up and leave. But they won't, because you're stuck. And then what's going to happen? Ooh, this is the best part. After that meeting, your friends and your coworkers are going to go up to you and say, where did you learn that? Boy, are you so smart. And what are you going to do? Right, Business 123, for Introduction to Investment, Southwestern College. I help you, you help me. Okay, slide 37. Now that you know everything you need to know about share classes and fees, which one are you going to choose? I'm going to give you $10,000 10 years ago. Do you want the AB Large Cap Growth Fund, Class A? Because remember, the Class A is going to be cheaper over time. Do you want the New Economy Fund, the Class A, because the Class A is going to be cheaper over time? Or do you want the Legg Mason Value Trust, Class C, because they didn't have Class A 10 years ago? Or do you want to be abstemious? You like that word? It's a fancy word for cheap. And go with the Vanguard Index 500. Now, if you printed this out, you're not going to see the answers, because when I hit the next button, the page down button, it's going to show me the answers. So which did you choose? A, B, C, D. Bingo! Fees are important, but they certainly do not tell you the whole story. When comparing mutual funds, you must look at many attributes, not the least of which are the rates of return, preferably over longer periods of time. And people say, well, isn't 10 years long enough? I say no. I like to look at 20, 30, 50-year mutual funds. They're the ones I want. I want to see how well they did over 50 years. Exactly. Because look at these two. As I said, I told you, these are two pretty good funds. The large cap growth fund. I'm so glad Alliance did not go out of business, because this poor mute, well, somebody would have picked it up. Somebody would have bought it. But this is actually a very good fund. Look, over the last 10 years, it's done almost 13%. And your 10,000 became 32,000, a little over 32,000. The New Economy Fund is no slouch, 11.28%, and a little over $29,000. But remember, see the little asterisk? Again, look at the fine print. Remember that these Class A shares, you had to pay that upfront fee of 4.2% here, 5.75% here. But what if you had the $1 million? Or somehow you got NAV that were in, some of them times they're in your retirement account and you pay not NAV or whatever. You would have gotten 13.5% almost from large cap growth fund, and almost 12% from the new economy fund. Yes, if you had, you know, a lot more money, didn't pay that commission. But look at the Legg Mason Value Trust, now called the ClearBridge Trust. A stinker. But if you would have seen this a little over 10 years ago, it would have been exactly the opposite. The Legg Mason Value Trust destroyed everyone else, starting in 1992 or so up to about 2007 and 8, and you would have seen $37,000 right there. But then they hit on hard times. Poor Bill Miller really just stunk up the joint in the Great Recession and eventually was allowed to retire in 2012. If you bought the Index 500, you did almost as well as the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. Why didn't you match the index? Well, because you have to pay something, right? You're going to have to pay, 0.14%. So this is about 9% more. So you did pretty darn close to the index, but not quite the index. So again, fees are important. They should be considered as just one aspect of your mutual fund search. And if you feel you need a broker, a financial advisor, whatever you want to call us, which type are you going to go with? Class A. Okay, just make sure you understand that. Now, you're going to hear people say Piano is old-fashioned. He's a fuddy-duddy. You want to go with the wealth management account. These are usually the brokers telling you that. And when you ask them, well, how much do you charge every year on top of that? They'll tell you 1%, maybe 2%. And you'll say, could you pencil in how much I'd pay if I bought the A shares versus your financial advisor shares? And they'll go, nah. And that's when they don't earn their three-piece suit. I know. Remember, I'm going to insult everybody by the end of the semester, so don't worry. People say you're prejudiced. I say, no, I hate everybody the same. So now, checking for understanding. We're almost done. 38. What are shares that do not have an upfront sales charge? Instead, they assess a decreasing back-end loan if you withdraw your money within 6 years. The annual operating expense is higher courtesy of the 12B1 fees. So no upfront fee, but a decreasing back end B, right? Contingent deferred sales charge. These are the B shares that normally revert to A shares 6, 7, 8 years or so. What are, on slide 39, shares that do not have an upfront fee and only have a 1% back end fee if redeemed within 1 year? The advisor called them no-load, broker no-load, but you notice that the annual operating expense is higher than the other share classes. Again, courtesy of the ubiquitous. You like that word, ubiquitous? It means everywhere, you know. 12B1 fees. Hmm? Well, those are the C shares. They sometimes revert to A or F shares after many years. So, and by the way, they're not allowed to call them no-load funds anymore. The SEC says, no, you can't do that. And then lastly, your financial advisor in the 3P suit tells you that these shares have no sales fee and a very low annual operating expenses. She mumbles something about wealth management. These shares are the A, B, C, or the F, or the I shares, or sometimes called advisor class shares. Right. These are the shares that charge you the wealth management fee, the advisor fee, the wrap account fee. She also did her best not to explain to you that her brokerage firm will charge you an extra 2% each year. Uh-huh. Oh, by the way, you thought this was confusing? There are dozens of other share classes depending upon the mutual fund company you deal with. But don't worry. All of them are just simply variations on the four main themes that we learned today. So go back over and study these, students. We want you to be awesome. And then when you're confronted with another share class, you'll go, oh, okay, that's like the B shares, or that's like the F shares, that's like the A shares. Cool? Okay, well done. Study. Bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College. Study these because we want you to be the investment guru so that you understand and can explain this to your friends and family. And we also don't want you to get stabbed in the back. Or pay more than you need to for your financial services. When we come back, students, we even have a tougher. Yeah, we even have another fun seeker time, and where we're going to try to get our arms around this 800-pound gorilla called the mutual fund industry. So study, do well. We are so proud of you, and we want you to be awesome.